Speaking on this program is Jim Dearman.
The New Testament says much about crucifixion. When we think about the subject of crucifixion in the Scriptures, we think about the crucifixion of Christ, and naturally so, because the crucifixion of Christ is so important to Christianity. Jesus said, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." John 12:32. Yes, the lifting up of Christ on the cross is central to Christianity. It was there on the cross the blood of Christ was shed in order that all of us might have forgiveness of sins as we become obedient to the terms of Calvary, to the terms of the cross in our expression of belief in Christ, our willingness to repent of our sins, to confess Him as Christ and Lord, and to be buried with Him in baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Then we're added to His church to live faithfully therein, even unto death, in order to receive the crown of life. Oh yes, the cross is central to Christianity. But there is another crucifixion about which the Scripture speaks, which is very important, and that is the crucifixion of ourselves. Yes, the crucifixion of ourselves. The Bible talks about the fact that we, if we are Christians, are crucified with Christ. In fact, we must be crucified with Christ. But in what sense? Let's look at our key text, Galatians 2, verse 20. There Paul writes, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." That passage depicts the complete transformation that takes place, the complete crucifixion that occurs as we crucify the old man of sin, put him to death, and let Christ rule in our lives. There's another passage, beginning in Colossians 3, verse 1, that depicts this same important idea about being crucified with Christ. There Paul writes, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Now, this passage says a death occurred. We've been crucified if we're Christians. That's the point Paul makes in Galatians 2:20 and in Colossians 3. And in that same Colossian epistle, he goes on to say that we are to put off the old man and the various things associated with the old man of sin and to put on the new man. That culminates with love, the quality he culminates with as he points these things out in the context of Colossians 3:1-14. The crowning characteristic of the Christian life is love. It must permeate the Christian life. But you see, there's a crucifixion that occurs. A death occurs. Remember on another occasion, Paul wrote that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have become new. That's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And that's the figure, a complete transformation, a complete change. We have died if we are Christians. We've been crucified with Christ. Now, to what have we died? How are we dead? In what areas are we dead? First of all, we are dead to the law. Yes, if we are in Christ, if we're Christians, we're dead to the law. But what law? We are dead to the law of Moses. That's what Paul writes. And if we look at the passages surrounding Galatians 2:20, we see in that context, Paul talks about being dead to the law. In Galatians 2:21, Paul writes, "If righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." Now, Paul's talking about the law of Moses. He's saying that we are dead to that law. Righteousness does not come through that law. It comes through the law of Christ. It comes through the New Testament. If we go back prior to verse 20 of Galatians 2, back in verse 16, there Paul writes, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified." Now, when Paul says we're justified by faith in Christ, he's talking about the system of faith, not faith alone, but by the faith, the system of faith, Christianity. We're justified by Christianity, by the law of Christ, not by the former law, not by that law of Moses, because we're dead to that law. Look at another passage in Colossians 2:14. There Paul tells us, "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us," that's the law of Moses, "which was contrary to us," he says, "and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Now, we serve God under the law of Christ. The law of Moses served its purpose. It's been taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. As we've just seen in Colossians 2:14, God gave that law, the law of Moses, as a temporary law, a law that was designed to show the exceeding sinfulness of sin and to point man to a better law, a better covenant, the perfect law of liberty, as it's called, the law of Jesus Christ, which is the New Testament. We cannot serve God under two laws at the same time. So God was leading us to the faith. The faith, the system of faith, the law of Christ, Christianity, through the law of Moses, which served its purpose and then was taken out of the way. Thus Paul clearly writes, by inspiration, that we are, first of all, dead to the law if we've been crucified with Christ. That is, dead to the law of Moses. That is so important for us to keep in mind because so much confusion in the religious world arises from a failure to recognize that the law of Moses has been taken out of the way. Now, let's quickly add that this does not mean we do not believe the Old Testament is inspired. Of course it is inspired. The Old Testament books are essential, in fact, to our understanding of the New Testament. But in those Old Testament writings, there is that law of Moses, which has served its purpose and has been taken out of the way. Jesus fulfilled it perfectly and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, ushering in the new law. On the Pentecost day, following his resurrection and ascension to the Father, the terms of the new law, the law of Christ, the gospel, were announced by the apostles as they preached the gospel for the first time. We, therefore, are dead to that old law. Now, the Old Testament writings are valuable. They are inspired. They contain eternal principles. And there are examples there we need to heed and from which we can learn much. But the law of Moses contained in those Old Testament books, that law has served its purpose and has been taken out of the way. And so, if we're crucified with Christ, we're dead to that law, the law of Moses. But secondly, we are dead to the world if we've been crucified with Christ. Look at Galatians 6:14, where the Apostle Paul writes, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Now, this is the idea of living in the world but not living like the world, not being of the world. We cannot go out of the world. In fact, we should not want to go out of the world. We need to try to influence the world for good. But we must not be partakers of worldly practices as we live in this world. In fact, as Christians, the longer we live as Christians, the less like the world we become. We're to set our minds on things above as those who are in Christ. In Romans 12:1-2, Paul writes, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, don't be conformed, literally. The idea here is stop being conformed to this world and keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, we're dead to the world as Christians. We've been crucified to this world, and this world has been crucified to us. This is what the Apostle Paul tells us about himself, and it should be true of everyone who has become a child of God. First of all, we've seen he's dead to the law of Moses if he's crucified with Christ, and secondly, he's dead to the world. But finally, the child of God who's been crucified with Christ is dead to sin. Yes, as a child of God, he is dead to sin. Now, does this mean that we never sin after we become Christians? No, that's not what we're saying. But we are dead to the continual practice of sin. Oh, yes, we're going to fall short, despite our best efforts. And as individuals, we are going to sin. But the Bible assures us that as we walk in the light, as God is in the light, and as we confess our sins regularly before the throne of heaven, the blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing us from our sin. So, there's a sense in which we are dead to sin if we've been crucified with Christ. We're certainly dead to the desire to keep on sinning. We are dead to the continual practice of sin, though as we've said, we occasionally fall short. Because we're human, we're going to make mistakes. But we also are dead to the guilt of sin. As faithful children of God, who are walking in the light as God is in the light, as we walk in the light of the gospel, if we regularly confess our sins, the Bible assures us that we are continually cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9. And what a wonderful thought that is. So, what does it mean to be crucified with Christ? It means that we've put some things to death. We've become dead to the law of Moses. We cannot serve God under two laws at the same time. And that law, the law of Moses, was to lead us to the perfect law of liberty, the gospel. It served its purpose and was taken out of the way. And so, if we have been crucified with Christ, we're dead to the law of Moses. We must not forget that. But we've also become dead to the world, in the sense that we are no longer conformed to the things of this world. We live in this world, but we do not live of this world. We don't live like the world. And, finally, we're dead to sin, in the sense that we're dead to the desire to sin, we are dead to the continual practice of sin, and we're dead to the guilt of sin. You see, as Christians, walking in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and we are assured that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Because we regularly confess our shortcomings and our sins to the throne of heaven as we continue our walk in the light of God's Word. That's the process by which we remain crucified with Christ and acceptable and pleasing to Him. What a wonderful thing it is to be crucified with Christ. The only question that remains is, have you been crucified with Christ? To do so, you must become a Christian. And to become a Christian, you must believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, John 8:24. You must repent, Luke 13:3. And again at verse 5, Jesus said, repent or perish. You must confess that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, Romans 10:10 and Matthew 10:32 and 33. And then you must be buried with your Lord in baptism for the forgiveness of sins, Mark 16:16. Then He'll add you to His church as one who's been crucified with Christ.